Good morning, good evening, whatever time it is, wherever you are, and welcome to Hustle Production Gospel Blog Talk Radio as we continue the Sunday School lesson from Antioch Missionary Baptist Church at 45 Church Street in Petermann, Alabama, 36471. Our telephone number is 1-251-564-2171. The church where everybody is somebody and Christ is the head. We want to thank you all for being here with us. On behalf of all of us here at Antioch, Pastor Oliver, our First Lady, Sister Joyce Oliver, and our clerk, Miss Lisa Starwood, where we have Sunday school every Sunday morning at 9:30. And due to COVID-19, we have been broadcasting for the last several months each Sunday morning by internet. And we hope that you have been enjoying and following. We also have worship Sundays on second Sundays, fourth Sundays, fifth Sundays at 8:30 a.m. Services this morning, God willing, will be at 8:30 this morning as well. Our devotional reading will come from Isaiah, the first chapter, verses 12 through 17. Our background scripture is from Luke, the sixth chapter, verses 27 through 36. Our key verse for this lesson, I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. Luke, the sixth chapter, the 27th and the 28th verse. Okay, our scripture begins with Luke, the 27th chapter. But I say unto you which hear, I love your enemies, do good to them which hate you. That means, in all from the heart, when people are put upon you and do things wrong to you, you still love them, just as Jesus Christ had loved you, in spite of your iniquity, in spite of my iniquity. He continues to love us over and over and over again. He just keep on blessing us, regardless of what our conditions are. He reigns on the just as well as the unjust. All right. The second verse, the 28th verse, bless them that curse you and pray for them which despitefully use you. How clear can that be? Bless them that curse you. How do you bless somebody? You bless somebody by doing good for them. You bless somebody in spite of what they do to you. You still do right by them. And the 29th verse, and to him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other, your right side and your left side. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not him to take thy coat also. Oh, look at that. Somebody takes something from you and you still continue to love them. They hit you on the one side, they hit you on another side, and you just keep on doing what God is doing for you, loving you and caring for you. Now the 30th verse, give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. Look at that. Give to every man that asketh of thee. How many of us, when in our anger and different things, we change how we behave toward people? How many of us do that? How many of us do that when somebody is doing something to us, treating us in a manner that we do not deem to be good, that we will do something different? You continue to love them in spite of this. And as ye would that man should do not do to you, as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. All right. As you would have others treat you nice, you continue to treat other people nice and good as well. Love your enemies. Love your enemies. This is not clear. It is very clear as to what God is telling us. If you love them which love you, what thank have ye for sinners who love those that love them? This is a very striking comment here in truth in God's word. If your sinners do what is right toward one another, and they continue to love and care for each other, and they are sinners. If you love them which love you, that what thank have you? In other words, what you got coming when you the sinner's doing the same thing? What do you got coming to you for doing what you do, huh? Sinners do the same thing. The sinners and God has no part except that God loves them and wants them to come to Christ and ask for forgiveness. But he knows a contrite heart and an honest heart when a sinner changes and comes to God. So if you doing what you do and the sinner doing what he does, what's the difference? You got to be right. You got to be right in the eyes of God. And in the 33rd verse, if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thanks have you? Well, just because you scratch my back and I scratch your back, what the... You got to scratch somebody's back that's stabbing you in the back. That's the difference there, you know. For sinners also do even the same. Yeah, look at it. Yeah, one of the examples that many ministers use in their teaching the word is how drunkards and carousers and whatever be on the corner drinking out of the same bottle or whatever. They all in there together and things like that. But you need to know that there is a difference between a contrite heart of forgiveness and a sinner that is not a part of God's house, so forth, as being truthful in heart and being forgiven. And if you come and ask now, and you come and bow down to him and let him know that you're seeking forgiveness and that you want to be a part of God's family and that you're willing to change your ways and do different from what you've been doing, that is very much true. Okay. And if ye lead to them to whom, and if ye lend to them whom ye hope to receive, what thanks have you? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. All right, you do something just so you can get something back. How about that? You do something just to get somebody back. You know you're going to get something back. You give to those with whom you know you can't get a return. For example, you cook an oxtail dinner and you invite all of your best friends over that you know will invite you to dinner. Invite somebody that can't come and pay you back. They can't invite you back over and cook dinner for you and your family, whatever. That's how that works, okay? But you love your enemies, do good, and lean, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the highest. For he is a kind unto unthankful and to the evil. Man, what a powerful word there. But love ye your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. How many of us lend knowing that you're not going to get anything back? How many of us lend knowing you're going to get something back? You know what? You wash my back, I wash your back. How about that? How many of us do that? How many do things and you know there's not a return for it? That your return will be coming from Christ, Jesus Christ, God Almighty, our Creator. And you often hear people say, your pay is out of this world. In other words, the folks here in this world is not going to be paying you back. You look to a better day. You look to the day in which Jesus Christ, God Almighty, your Creator, who loves us all, will be doing the paying. And they say, shall be great, and it shall be great, and you shall be the children of the highest. Talking about Jesus Christ, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. You show mercy, God will show you mercy. You don't show any mercy, no mercy will be shown unto you. All right. By participating in this lesson, each learner will be able to restate Jesus' teaching about loving one another, loving his enemies. We clearly understand what that means, I believe. Contrast Jesus' teaching with commonly held ideas of how to navigate adversarial relationships. What do you do in this different situation? How do you behave? What do you do? How you navigate those things? Huh? How do you do it? Okay. All right. Express ways to grow in mercy toward all people, especially one's enemies. When they're doing you wrong, love them. In the lesson that outlined, we must not think evil of this man. Lesson in the context, love for your enemies. That's Luke 6, chapter 27 through 31st. In return for hatred, bless and pray. Check your prayer list. All right? Who are you praying for? How about that? Who are you praying for? Huh? Be forgiving and generous. Love for all. Above average standards of love. Acting like God's children. And the conclusion, the challenge of discipleship, prayers, thoughts to remember. All right, let us begin with the introduction. We must not think evil of this man. At 10:25 a.m. on October 2, 2006, Carl Roberts entered the Westnickel Mine School in Amish one-room schoolhouse in Bark Township, Pennsylvania. After ordering the two teachers and all the male students to leave, Robert tied up all the female students and settled in for a siege. Within half an hour, with Pennsylvania State Troopers surrounding the building, Robert had shot all 10 girls, killing five of them before killing himself. In face of much devastation to a tiny rural community, what kind of reaction might we expect? On the day of the shooting, a reporter overheard the grandfather of one of the victims say, "We must not think evil of this man." In the wake of funerals where they had buried their own children, grieving Amish families accounted for half of the people who attended the killer's funeral. Robert Withers was deeply moved by their presence. The imperative to forgiveness went beyond even this. The Amish community also generously supported a fund for the shooter's family. The desire for revenge is one of the deepest of human impulses. Sadness, rage, powerlessness, and a host of other emotions drive us to this. Jesus calls us to something very different, a new way of living in the world. We see this new way embodied in the reaction of the Amish community to the acts of unspeakable brutality. Today's lesson draws from Jesus' sermon on the plain where further despite the nature of this new way of life. As spending a lot of time in corrections and at death row there at home, and there's often when someone is being put to death there at Atmore, how people talking about he getting what he deserves, and you often hear correction officers say negative things about the person who's on death row. He getting what he deserved. It should have killed him long time ago. But rarely do you hear folks say, forgive him, don't hold that against him, because they know that what caused that person to do what they're doing was not any love. It was Satan. It was deceiver, the liar. He was a part of that, okay? And that's why you should love your enemies. Love them, regardless of what people say about you. You love your enemies anyway. Luke 6 contains an account of what has traditionally been called the Sermon of the Plain. Much attention has been given over the years to the relationship between the Sermon on the Plain and Matthew's account of the Sermon on the Mount. Some commentators have seen them as different versions of the same event. Other people, most have understood them to be independent of each other. This seemed to be the best line of interpretation, and as one we were Father here. The difference between the two sermons are readily apparent. One was delivered on a mountain, Matthew, the 5th chapter, verses 1. The other was delivered on a plain, Luke 6 and the 17th verse. The sermon on the plain is about one quarter the length of the Sermon on the Mount. The Beatitudes, which opens the sermons on the Mount, Matthew 5:3-11, contains blessings only. The Sermon on the Plain opened with fewer blessings that are followed by acts of corresponding woes. Woes and blessing. There are two differences there. Woe unto you. Bless you. There's two different things. Woe means harm, detrimental, not good. But blessing means good. Okay. A curious comparison of Luke 6:20 through the 29th verse with Matthew 5-7 also show how much these sermons have in common. Both sermons show great concern for the poor and socially outcast. Example, Matthew the 5th chapter and verses 10. Luke the 6th chapter verses 20-22 teaches love for enemies. Example, Matthew the 5th chapter 43-48 verse. The central of mercy and the nature of the kingdom. Example 5-7. Opposition to hypocrisy. What about hypocrisy? How is hypocrisy prevalent in today with politicians, with folks in leadership, and what they're saying and how they're acting? Hypocrisy is saying one thing and acting another, or acting in one way and saying something else. That's hypocrisy. That means that you're not true to what you're saying. Opposition to hypocrisy, and so forth. That both of these sermons deal with those themes, indicating just how commonly they appear in Jesus' preaching and ministry. In Luke 6, the sermon comes to the heels of a controversy with the Pharisees, after which Jesus left to pray on a mountain. As on another occasion, deep prayer precedes a significant moment in Jesus' ministry. On this occasion, prayer precedes Jesus choosing the 12. After that, he came down to the plain. When Jesus opened his mouth to speak, he lifted up his eyes on his disciples. In other words, it was the disciples, those who were already committed in word and deed to follow the Lord, who were the primary audience for what he had to say. Others were present, the people that were overhearing a message directed at Jesus' followers, not primarily at them. This is an important point to hear in mind as we undertake our study. Jesus was describing the nature of the kingdom in these verses. He painted a picture of the community that he was forming around him and its way of life. These still are not words directed at outsiders or at the world at large. The Sermon on the Plains opened with a series of blessings and woes like 6:20-26 and above. They undercut the conventional view of the world that justifies the way in which most Jesus hearers lived out their daily lives. Most people, both then and now, would point to the rich and powerful, the popular and the elite, as successful and honored in this life. Jesus said, this is not so. How does that fare in the face of what you believe? And how do you cater and bow down to the rich and the famous and those who have and those that do not have? Do you gravitate toward to giving them more than they already have, giving your substance to them? What about in honest gratitude or thanks in a situation that you walk into where there are needed funds for do something, and do you give all your substance and hope that it will help balance out the need for the person that is bearing expenses? Jesus said, this is not so. Rather, it is the poor and hungry that be the benefit security. Who are truly blessed, they can look forward to unimaginable blessing on that last day, in the last day. Those that do not have, that's who Jesus Christ is favoring, and not to the rich and famous that got everything already. They are enjoying what they have here, and their riches and their benefits of what they're going through is being foretold with them. In a return of hatred, but I say unto you which hear, but I say up to the artist whether hearing or reading to discover a contrast. Unto you, which here seems to be equivalent to meaning to that familiar phrase from the gospel, he that had ears to hear, let him hear. When he say ears to hear, he's talking about let your heart hear, let your heart hear. Okay? That ones who hear is not merely capable of making our audible sound of speech, rather hearing requires understanding, and more critically, the obedience to what we heard is about receptive to the message, a willingness to transform one's life in accordance with demands of the message. Be willing to be doers of the word, not just hearers of the word. Let it go into your heart and you act with your heart in a manner that is according to God's word. Love your enemies, do good to them that which hate you. The command, the same out of Jesus' mouth, was and still counterintuitive. There is nothing else like it in all texts that come down to us from the ancient world. For instance, the poet Hirashi gives the typical understanding of one's obligation to his enemy. Love those who love you and help those who help you. Give those who give to you, never to those who do not. Look at that. That's a total contrast to what God said and what it said in his word. All right. It is not a part of unsanctified human nature to love enemies. The man that Jesus makes is that the first is one that most of us resist almost instantaneously. It is highly standard and not natural for us, but is surely attainable. You can love your enemies, even though it's difficult to do. You can love your enemies, but you can, with Christ in your heart, love your enemies when they do you wrong. You can turn that other cheek when they hit you on one side and hit you on the other, hit you, stab you in the back, whatever way. You can do it with the help of God. 2 Corinthians 7:1 contrasts Hebrews 10:14. This believer who is growing becomes increasingly able to extend love to enemies. Love is defined by action. Do good. You hear that? It is defined by action. Doing good toward one that do bad towards you. Not sentiments or feeling. Love costs something. It does not come cheap. It must be coming from the heart. And that means a change of heart. A change of heart. Very much a change of heart. How about that? You must change your heart. All right. Bless and pray. Bless them that curse you and pray for them which despitefully use you. Clear message there. This deals with love demonstrated in speech. These examples of most likely would have come from the daily experience of Jesus' hearers. Many of them were socially marginal or poor, thus already not commanding the respect of their peers. Speech and praying and reaching out and calling out to God, telling about your situation. That's what it means. Call out to God. Tell him what is wrong. Tell him even though you're hurting and you're in pain, you still call out and you still pray. You still do what is need to be done in spite of the pain in which you're going through. The pain of your body aches or whatever. The pain of somebody doing something wrong to you. The pain of somebody putting upon you and doing harm to you and hurting your family or hurting you or your loved ones. But you're still loving and calling out to God and praying for them, not against them. Okay? All right. Check your prayer list. I feel blessed to have lived 63 years without encountering many enemies. My most painful experience have come in the employment arena. On these different occasions, I have lost jobs in these instances. I felt some degree of being ill-used. Looking back, I'm not proud of my responses, although I did lash out. Neither did I put those who irritated these painful scenarios in my prayers. This, I sure spent much more time feeling sorry for myself than praying for them. How about that? Where did you fit in that category, huh? What did you do when somebody indirectly or directly did something for you to lose your job or your livelihood for your family? What did you do? How did you behave? How did you take it? What was your prayer list? What was it? Jesus didn't say we have to enjoy being treated poorly, but regardless of our feelings, we can honor Jesus' command to pray for anyone who has caused us pain. Often people mean to do harm, so we're actually praying mostly out of our own attitude. If they really are out to get us, we can forgive them in prayers and ask God to work in their hearts. Is there someone you need to add to your prayer list? Think about that in your own personal life. Is there somebody that you need to be praying to? Is there somebody you need to be praying to God about? Is there somebody that did something and you know they did wrong towards you? Is it time for you to change the prayer that you've been praying God to? Pray for them, not against them. Let God deal with it. It is God's job to punish those that do wrong, not yours. You do not qualify. You qualify to turn your cheek to your left cheek. You qualify to pray for them, but you don't qualify to do anything to him because you do not have the power to do that. Let God do his job and you do your job. All right, your job is to love them and forgive them. All right. Be forgiving and generous. How about that? How about being forgiving and generous also? And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek and also on the other. How plain is that? Okay, what do we need to say about that, huh? How plain and clear is that, huh? And to him that taketh away that cloak, and forbid not him to take the coat also, give. In other words, they want to come in and take your stuff. Give him all the, give it to him. Let him have it. God will give you more in the end. All right? You remember Job? And there's a passage in the Bible that says God reigns on the just as well as the unjust. God giveth and the Lord taketh away. How about that? Huh? Remember, Job's wife was telling him, curse God and die. I mean, you know, no, don't do that. Let God do his job and you do yours, okay? Enemies love extends to our attitude toward our possessions as well. If the cloak is required of a man, he should offer also his coat. This goes well beyond the laws which will not allow the coat to be taken as surety or debt. Oh, following Christ are not to be stingy with our things because they are not ours to begin with. How about that? Example, 2 Corinthians 9:6-11. Moreover, we should trust God's provision enough to be expected to repay for what we give each other, as Israel was called to trust him that they subscribe the best of their flock and fields, okay? That they sacrifice the best of their flock and fields. Don't just give anything. Give the best that you got, all right? All right. Love for all. In light of this, we can imagine that commands such as these would have rubbed many in the multitude the wrong way. Even though my words are being spoken as to how you should behave, there are some, perhaps in this audience, that do not believe that. They believe that you get them back. If they hit you, you hit them back. You stomp on my cat, I stomp on your dog, whatever the metaphor is that we use to describe getting back and doing things like the world. The world is a totally different place in the understanding of how God treats people and loves people and cares for folks. Just like God forgives you and loves you over and over and over and over again in spite of your iniquity, think about that. Think about how God has been. He's blessing you every day. Even though you do wrong, he wakes you up this morning. He helps you start you on your way. Yeah. Do good for people. Love them all. Enemies, neighbors, friends, love them all. Love for all. All right. Above average standards, love them all. That's above average standards. I mean, the standard thing is just, you know, just kind of go along and get along, treat people. If they do me okay, I'll do okay by them. That's just okay. Anyway, you just treading water. You just, you know, you ain't doing nothing special. No. You got to be special. You got to go above. You got to be above the average of what folks are doing. All right? Got to be above And ye should, would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. Like you want somebody to do good towards you, you do good toward them already, okay? The more so. All right, you want people to treat you right and say good things and be favorable toward you, you do the same thing to them. All right? Treat people like you want to be treated. You don't want nobody slapping and stomping and niggling. Even though they would do that, you don't want them doing that. But you do that to them as well. You give them the best that you have. You love them. You give them your substance, whatever you have. Just to return to a new line of discussion, whereas in Luke 6:27-30 describes specific behavior that characterize the kingdom Jesus has come to establish. Speak to the motives for these behaviors. It is noteworthy here that we are no longer strict focus on treatment on one enemies, but on people in general. The focus of Jesus' words has broadened to include everyone with whom you, the believer, interact. That's everybody. Everybody that you come in contact with. I mean everybody. I don't care who they are. You treat them with love, respect, and do the best that you can for them from your heart. Give them the best that you got. When they give you nothing but crumbs, you give them the creme of the creme, the best that you have. The verse in Jesus' statements on what we commonly call golden rule. The golden rule is an expansion of Leviticus 19:18. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. That's compared to Matthew 7:12. Several versions of this principle can be found in ancient literature. Okay? A Greek-speaking Jewish philosopher said, no one shall do to his neighbor what he would be unwilling to have done to himself. You don't want anybody, like I said before, you don't want nobody dogging you out, so you don't dog nobody out. Okay? All right. Both Jews and Romans' backgrounds show that at least some philosophers assume a stance of reparatory good that is expanding on Jesus' teaching and the Sermon on the Mount. In other words, you do me good, I do you good, things like that. That's okay. But the thing about that, when they do you bad, you still do them good. Huh? How about that? Okay, you wash my back, I wash your back. I said that several times. We understand exactly what that means. Okay? But when they are not washing your back, they stab you in your back. You still do good. How clear can that be? For if you love them which love you, what think you have? What you gonna get? You just doing what the world do. Be different. Sinners have simply referred to all those who operate in normal human terms with regard to personal relationship exchanges and so forth. Everyone who does not conform their lives to the standards of the new kingdom that Jesus proclaimed lives that way. They love those that love them, no more and no less. How clear is that? How clear is that? All right. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thanks have you for the sinners who also do the same thing, huh? This verse presents the same question to Luke, our believers on this new reality that Jesus preaches. All right? If you learn to lend to them whom you hope you receive, oh, man, how clear is it? You give the one that's going to give them to you. The message just keep going round and round and coming back to you in a manner that is so conclusive to understanding of how you should behave, acting like God's children. But love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. All right? All right. And your reward shall be great. You shall be the children of the highest. And John Baptist implies in Luke 3, the third chapter, 8 and 9, to be the child of someone or something is to share in the character of that person or object. To be children of the Most High, Jesus hears, and we are called to do the same thing that God does, especially loving our enemies. Do like Jesus. What would Jesus do? You often hear that said about things. What would God do? He would love you in spite of you doing wrong, so you do that to your enemies as well. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Look at that. How about that? That drives home the verse God reigns on the just as well as the unjust. You didn't say just. You justify what you get. Justify what comes to you. You're getting things that you don't deserve. How about that? How about God's grace and mercy for you? How about it, huh? Do you deserve the grace and mercy of God? Do you treat people all any kind of way and do any kind of thing? God's still loving and caring for you. God's still waking you up in the morning. God's still letting you drive that car or to live in that house wherever you are. Hallelujah. God's being good to you. Huh? Do you deserve that? Think about that. Do you deserve all the blessings in which God rained down on you? Huh? He still do good for you. He keep blessing you over and over and over and every day. The song that is out now, One More Day, you know, the things that you've been doing, and God's continue to love you every day. He bless you again today and tomorrow, woke you up again tomorrow. God's willing you wake me up tomorrow. But the thing of it is, God does it for you. He does it because he loves you, and he wants you to do the same thing for your enemies. Doing good on thin ice. And this will be in 1569, the Netherlands, Dirk Williams was arrested for being a member of a group of Christians who rejected certain doctrines. He escaped from a prison widow and was chased by guards coming on an icy pond. Dirk safely made his way across, but the ice broke on his pursuers. Hearing the guards cry, Dirk ran back and pulled the man out on the frigid water. The guard then seized Dirk and led him back to prison. Soon afterward, he was burned at the stake. Look at that. Dirk took the teaching of Jesus seriously. He dared to love his enemy and do good to him. And Luke, chances are you'll never have to make that kind of decision Dirk Williams faced, but you still have plenty of opportunities to apply Jesus' challenging words. The next time you have pursued by an enemy, turn around and do good to that person. How about that? Here this man escaped from prison, goes across thin ice, which allows him to get across. Excuse me. But his pursuer, his jailers, gets in trouble. He turns around and goes back and pulls them out. And guess what? That jailer turns around and still burns him at the stake. How about that? That's real. What is your conclusion? What do you do when somebody's pursuing you and doing wrong to you? What do you do? Do you turn around and help them? Ask yourself that question. That is something that you know. You know how you behave toward people. Be ye therefore merciful as your Father is also merciful. How about that? God is merciful to you. You'll be merciful to others. Way of summarizing Jesus' point is verse 35 to say that God is merciful. His action toward us are generous, ultimately intended for our redemption. 2 Peter 3:9. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, he died for all of us. He regained and reconnected us to God, our Creator, our Father. We lost it all when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden. Jesus came down and with the sacrificial lamb to reconnect us. All right. The premise of mercy in the character of God likewise points us to a new way of life. Be merciful. I again repeat, be merciful, in which the critical value is not reciprocity. In other words, I get back at you, you get back at me. You do good to me, I do good. No. You do good and be merciful in all situations, in all time, to all people, in which the critical value is not reciprocity, but behavior initiated on our merciful Father. It's Luke 11:4. The challenge of discipleship. What is said in today's text actually requires very little in the way of commentary. There are no textual issues of obscure culture references that need to be explained in order that the reader to comprehend this passage. This is not a difficult passage to understand. The challenge of discipleship. It is, however, an exceedingly difficult passage to put into practice. As we suggested in the outset, this is because the way of life that Jesus described here runs counter to the fundamentals of human nature, the deep-seated desire for revenge. Do you know about revenge? For redresses of injustices. You feel you've been done wrong, you want to do somebody else wrong. How about that? For the respect of others, in light of this, it is common to view the teaching of Jesus in the Sermon on the Plain as impractical or unrealistic, even among Christians. Did you hear that? Even among Christians. Even among Christians. But you got to be above and beyond. You have to be above and every standard. You can't be just like the regular, what the rest do, okay? You got to be outside of it. You better be special. In light of this, it is a common to view the teaching of Jesus in the Sermon on the Plain as impractical or unrealistic, even among Christians, and seek ways to get around the implication of Jesus' word. The truest and best application we make of Jesus' word is simply to reject the way of thinking, thus clearing the way for his word about love of enemies to reshape the hearts of our lives. Let us pray as we close out this lesson. Heavenly Father, grant us the courage to pattern our lives after the teaching of Jesus. How about that? Heavenly Father, grant us the courage to pattern our lives after Jesus' teaching. Jesus rather than after what is acceptable according to our culture. In Jesus' name we pray. Jesus calls us to a new way of life. Jesus calls us to a new way of life. We hope that you have enjoyed the lesson for today. And we hope that you will be with us again, God willing, next Sunday, October 18th, Love for Thy Neighbors. All right. We hope that you will be a part of this. On behalf of all of us here at Antioch Baptist Church and the Antioch Church family, we thank you. God bless you. And we'll see you next time.